If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm in the old Nag's Head pub in central Manchester. It's a big Manchester pub. It's a big Manchester United pub, and Sean, the landlord, does a quality job. And I'm here with John Paul O'Neill, JP, as he's known by lots of people in the Manchester United world. Edited Red Issue for a long time. He's just written a new book called Those Were the Days. He was heavily involved in the startup of FC United. I think it was even his idea. So I thought it'd be an interesting person to speak to for United We Stand. Welcome, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So why have you done a book?
Well, it's been quite a long time in the works. Originally had the idea in about 2000, I think, with Barney. With Barney Red News, and back then we sent a proposal to Richard Kurtz, editor at Mainstream, a guy called Bill Campbell, just laying out this idea we had for this 90s book.
And Richard wrote for Red Issue, and he wrote his own Manchester United books as well.
And a few of them were for Mainstream. I think the Red Army Years at the time was for Mainstream as well, but we never even got a reply.
Really?
So basically, just always had it in mind since then to do it, and revisited it maybe 2015-16, didn't really go anywhere. How to do it, you know, what sort of format to do it in terms of, you know, what to cover, to just focus on specific bits or just go for everything. Then I obviously did Red Rebels 2017.
So Red Rebels was a book about FC United.
Yeah. Well, it's about the Glazer takeover, the whole sort of Glazer coming through, and then focused on FC from 2005 onwards. And then since then, I've wanted to do this 90s book, but it's just been, originally it was finding a deal, getting a publishing deal for it. And I was just hitting brick walls with that for whatever reason. And eventually decided to just do it myself.
You self-published it?
Yeah.
And United fans can order it?
Yeah.
And it's about United in the 90 to 95, this one?
So it was, when I started, it was supposed to be the whole sweep of the 90s, but again, I was getting nowhere, a bit of writer's block, if you like. And someone suggested breaking it down, making it more manageable. So doing it 90 to 95, and then you sort of have a natural gap with the change in the team, the 92 youth team coming into the first team when Ince, Kanchelskis, Hughes all left. So, and you got a nice break. You know, that was the team of the first half of the 90s, wasn't it? And then, so the second book then from 95. And if I get around to doing that one, I envisage it being sort of 95 to 2001. This one that's been completed is 90 to 95.
Have you enjoyed doing it? Found it difficult?
It's been really difficult at times. I mean, I probably didn't even touch it for about 3 years, from, I don't know, 2021 to 24-ish. Well, pretty much didn't touch it. Kept dipping back in every now and then and just writing a paragraph or two. And
you're doing it from memory? Have you got new sources? You've always been big on sort of research.
Yeah.
You've been asking me, do you remember this letter you wrote to the Manchester Evening News in 1991? And I don't remember it. So
I can
clearly see that you've been, you know, you've been sending me little clips.
I think that was a letter to the Sun, the one I sent you the other week.
I didn't write to the Sun.
It was definitely in the Sun.
I wrote to the...
it's in the Sun.
It was the Pink.
In fact, it actually got that out of a United We Stand.
Yeah.
It was in a... It was...
So you've gone through all the old fanzines?
I have, yeah. United We Stand was quite useful, surprisingly.
Why are you surprised? Quality publication.
But, yeah, so I've gone through all that. Books, watched all the clips on YouTube, refreshed the memory that way and stuff. But, I mean, there's not... It's about football, but it's not about football as well. It's more about sort of from the fans' point of view. That's the intention anyway. It's let others be the judge.
There were massive changes at the start of the 90s in the fan demographic, more than ever.
I'd forgotten how... I mean, the scope of some of them.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable when you look back. And it completely revolutionised the whole match-going culture as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the terracing is the obvious massive change, but even other stuff beyond that, pay on the gate is another big one. But United were taking double, triple the numbers that is just your normal away game. So almost every Saturday away game back in 91.
And you get big ends. You go to Coventry, where we're paying. We did a protest then with Red Issue against high ticket prices. Red card protests.
Yeah. Was that 92?
Yeah.
February 92, wasn't it?
And we printed all these red cards. The struggle was getting people not to go in the pub to dish them out outside the away end. You take 10,000-12,000. Notts County was a famous one. Pay on the gate. And it's all changed, hasn't it, that culture. But also just standing on the street and selling the fanzine and seeing the people coming past, it changed massively. I remember John Czar from Red Issue. He was really dismissive about what was changing. And I'd stand sort of 10 metres behind him. And you would have people coming up to you asking you where the ground was.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're just new football fans. And
that was happening as early as 93, then.
Yeah.
Before the first title. Before it. So it's not, you know, and there's people still don't believe that goes on now.
Yeah,
it's been going on over 30 years.
Yeah. And then Manchester as a city was changing as well. You touch on the culture around the music.
Yeah, bits of it. Obviously, Oasis coming through, 93, 94, weren't they? Before they went really big in 95.
I heard of Oasis from lads at the match before any of the music press.
Yeah.
Lads like Sid were mates with him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he went. Did he go to school with him?
Yeah.
Martin Holland?
Yeah.
Knew Liam, didn't he?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was that Hacienda gig, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Was it end of August 93?
Yeah.
September 93. Where it was kicking off because of their city allegiances. Mm. Rubbing it in everyone's face. Mm. But, and the thing is, City, Oasis, they really played up with the City thing right from the start, didn't they? Mm. Photo shoots outside the Umbro stand at Main Road in the crap City tops.
Just today, just had a message from someone who's gone to watch them in South America saying that the Brazilian authorities have banned anyone wearing City shirts.
Well, I mean, they should ban them anyway, shouldn't they?
Which made me laugh. Oh, is this true? But I think there is a rule in Brazil which prohibits football shirts or something like that for concerts in non-football.
I think it's just City shirts.
Just City shirts.
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it? Clamping down on corruption.
So you mentioned City. You were going to the game. You were a young lad. What was it like going to Manchester City in the 1990s from your perspective?
First time I did go to City was with my dad. We went in the main stand. And it was like, just celebrate if United score. And then when United did score, just celebrating. And half the main stand goes up when United score. That's how it was then. And that only changed in 95 when the capacity came right down when they were doing the kickbacks. And that sort of people in the home end, from then on, it was always moody. But before that, I mean, you watched the 3-2 game in you see it now, the clips, watching it back, the Umbro stand all goes up when Keane scores the winner, yeah, with all the goals and that, and in the second half. There's loads of United all over the ground, but I was in the kit packs that day, in the United bit, and it was just, I mean, that's best derby, hands down, ever, that, for me. There's been a few good ones over the last 10 years or so, haven't there, but that one, all the Turkish delight coming over there, they had a little segregation gap, I don't know, 5 metres or something. The city had all the two-thirds of the kit patch, United probably had about a third, maybe a bit less. And then United have the seats in the north stand, wouldn't they? So you'd have those two sections, then United all over the Umbro and the main stand. But just remember, they're all on the, giving it 2-0 up and you fucked it up, Galatasaray, and throwing the Turkish delights over, coins and everything. And of course, they went 2-0 up, didn't they? Quinn, through Niall Quinn. But I remember at half-time, everyone was just pretty chilled about it. It was like, we'll win this. Because United weren't playing that badly, I don't think. But I just remember, it wasn't like the team weren't getting slagged or anything. It was just, everyone was just, win this 3-2. It was just sort of accepted that we were coming back. I don't know, there's a really sort of real confidence about it. And this was just days after we'd been knocked out of Europe. Everyone should have been, you know, fretting that we're on the slide or something. But that first goal, Ken Nascot, it was just a matter of time. Then he was just toying with him, wasn't he? And the winner. And then, of course, as soon as the winner goes in, the whole United, and then just 2-0 up and you foot it up, City is our name.
A few years earlier, City were 3-1 up. Howard Kendall was manager. I remember being in the Platt Lane that day. I remember other derbies. I couldn't get tickets for the United then. I remember going in the Kippax once.
They took Peter Reid off. Took Peter Reid off with about 10, 12 to go, didn't they? Maybe a bit longer, 15 to go. Was it Brightwell, Ian Brightwell, or David would get them two mixed up, wouldn't it? But they brought Brightwell on, didn't they? And the game changed. But
wasn't there a flag in the Kippax when they were doing it up? A flag went round, which was done by United fans.
Oh no, that was the last derby at Main Road.
Yeah,
and it was my idea actually.
Yeah, were you in the stand?
No, I was in United then. But my brother was at uni at Manchester then, and this is how big City were and how pathetic they are. They used to give the university like, I don't know, 500 tickets every game at peanuts for students to capitalise on the Oasis buzz, didn't they? With all these idiot students. But and they'd give them for the derby as well. I mean, I don't know whether it was the same amount or less or what, but I told my brother, get some tickets in the kid pass in the city bit, because he had no chance of the United and getting one. So I think two or three of them got these student tickets from the student union, and came up with this idea that if we did this banner, because whenever a flag gets unfurled at the ground, people just unfurl it and it goes, doesn't it? It takes on a life of its own. So
no one actually reads.
Yeah, no, they're underneath it. A lot of the time you can't, yeah. You know, you're only underneath what, a square metre of it. So you can't see, if it's a 20, 30 square metre flag, you're not going to see, are you? You're not going to know what it says. But so it's just said, as long as it looks like a city flag, it'll just go. And so we made it. A white flag with blue writing in Manchester is, and then we had red, Manchester is red, but the red was in red, so it really stood out. But then we put double the amount of material underneath the red, so the red won't come through to anyone underneath it. So obviously they went in, I don't know, they went on the stairwell or something, unfurled it.
So no one's checked it going in. This is a big flag.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, unfurled it.
It wasn't that big. It was like a long thing.
Yeah, I remember
thing,
it. Yeah.
But so it just said in the line, Manchester is red all the way down. So anyone at the top wouldn't see the bottom, and anyone at the bottom wouldn't see the top. And it went across the kip. They unfurled it, one end of the kip packs, perfect, because it could have been the wrong way up or whatever. And it went all the way down the kip packs. And this is 5 minutes before the teams come out. And the only footage of it was an MUTV camera was filming from the main stand at Main Road, for whatever reason, I don't know.
And he just said, Manchester is red.
And it was all quiet and just got a crowd noise. And somehow, someone's picked up on it after, and they released it on, I don't know if YouTube was even about them, but it got released online. And it's still there, you can see it online, but it goes across the kit packs, goes down one end, then right the way back, and it's going about halfway back again, and I think they realised and took it down. But yeah, so last ever derby at Main Road.
10 years since you stopped doing Red Issue, I think it was January 2015. Do you miss it? Do you still stand by your reasons for stopping doing it?
I think the reasons are even more compelling than they were then.
Which were?
Well, just banging your head against the brick wall with football these days, I think, with the way it's gone. I mean, you're quite a celebrity on Warwick Road these days with all your fans. I couldn't deal with that. If I'm getting people asking for autographs, I mean...
Don't get asked for autographs.
And photos like you. I just want to sell the mag, to be honest. But look at how United are treating the fans these days, in the last year even. Everyone's gone about Ratcliffe. It's, that guy's bad news. And he's like Glazers on steroids, where in terms of taking the club commercially and everything else, and just pure, not giving a shit about who he upsets. All this stuff about him being a local United fan, do me a favour. It's just no.
Do you watch the team?
Yeah, of course.
What was the last game you went to?
I actually went in.
I saw you in Bilbao.
Yeah, I went to Bilbao. Actually went in. I don't know. I can't remember now. But I still meet up with people.
Have you been to a United match since you stopped doing Red Issue?
Yeah.
But you stopped when the Glazers came in.
I gave my season ticket up in 2005, and I've probably been in Old Trafford 8 times since then.
Any away games?
Yeah, I mean, I did away games, Europeans, for a good few years after. But 2015...
And pre-seasons, I've seen you on the
pre-seasons. I've been doing other things in the last 10 years. I still come into town and watch it.
Meet your mates.
The lads, yeah. Or wherever it might be.
So in Eccles last week, a load of Reds melt there for Reds' birthday.
Yeah. So we still catch up with everyone.
And you've watched games on telly?
Yeah, of course.
All of them?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
You still feel it? You still feel...
Yeah, I mean, it's still great watching the game, but I mean, it's people say, would you go back if the Glazers left or whatever? But what you'd be going back to isn't what it was. So it's not 1993 anymore.
Would people in the 1980s be saying it's not what it was in the 70s?
Well, of course they would. Of course they would. Yeah, I mean, things always change. I mean, I'm not disputing that, but. Just like what we were talking about before, United used to take 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 every Saturday away game, turn up, pay on the gate. And you look at it now, people are scared of the club. Oh, is it in my name? Is it in my membership? Oh, I've got to have this. Oh, have you got your ID? ID, it's called a football game. It's like, we beat this. Fans beat this in the 1980s. ID card scheme, and now United and all these other Premier League clubs, because they're all working together, introducing these things and alienating the hardcore support.
Premier League clubs.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Leeds were doing it last season, the first division.
Barcelona are very aggressive doing this.
But it's all obviously a coordinated thing, because they don't want those their best customers, in effect.
Most loyal customers.
Yeah, they
not
don't want,
best financially.
Most loyal. So they don't want them because they want to raise more revenue from those seats, and those people are essentially, I mean, just look at it the other year when the Super League thing was proposed. Who was against it? It was the sort of season ticket, long-standing season ticket, hardcore base of a lot of clubs who were most vocal about that.
Cha-ching! When you start a new business, there's a lot to go in on. And it can feel pretty overwhelming, and every day you've got a new decision that needs an answer, whether you're starting off with something new. It just seems that your to-do list keeps growing every day with new tasks, and it can easily begin to overrun your life. Finding the right tool that not only helps out but simplifies everything can be a game changer. And for millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify, with its cha-ching sound. Shopify is a commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. You can get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates, and Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store to match your brand style. Accelerate your content creation. Shopify is packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Get the word out there. Like, you've got a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify is your e-commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping and processing returns and beyond. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business into a cha-ching with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your £1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.co.uk/united. Go to shopify.co.uk/united. shopify.co.uk/united.
Your big protests against
and,
that.
And of course, they're the ones who'll kick up the biggest stink about where they want to take football. So they need rid of them. Go away.
Are you against the Super League?
Well, yeah, of course.
The big protests around Old Trafford. The Liverpool game got cancelled. What was your view on that? Were you around at the time?
Yeah, I was around. I was actually in Liverpool the night before, well, the day before, and with a mate. And we met up with some Everton kids who a few United lads know, from one of them we're from down south. And we were there having a pass. Everton were playing that night, I think they were away at Villa. And obviously there was no fans in the ground, so there's quite a few of them out to watch it. But in the pubs, it was all that six at the table nonsense, wasn't it? Anyway, we went to this pub, met. There's about 10 of them out in the afternoon before their game. So I'm talking at one of them, and he says, "Oh, what are you doing tomorrow? There's a protest in there, in Manchester." And I was like, yeah. And he says, "How's that going to go?" And we're about 4 or 5 pints in by this stage. I said, "Well, if it goes right, the game's not going ahead." And he was like, yeah, whatever. I said, "No, seriously, we're going to get the game called off." And he went, "What do you mean?" I says, "Well, just you'll see tomorrow, But where they'd met was, there was a hotel, it was near this square. Never been there before. It's not far up from the cathedral in Liverpool. And there was the coach, the Liverpool coach, and the big red coach, and it said LFC on and all that. So I was saying, is that where the Liverpool team stay? And they were like, "No, I don't." I said, because I've been told to stay in Manchester tonight. And he's like, no, it's. And they were saying they're definitely staying in Liverpool. I said, "Well, I've heard they're staying in Manchester." But, and that was the thing about getting it called off. It was target one of the hotels and just stop either United or stop Liverpool getting to the ground. And they were telling me that Liverpool was staying in Liverpool, and they always stay there and then drive. And I just walked past the coach. But I knew they were staying in Manchester because I got a tip off by someone. So I just thought, just see tomorrow, see what happens. And obviously, most people go to Old Trafford, but there's quite a lot who knew to stay in town and that something was going on there. So,
how did you feel when the game was called off?
Well, I mean, it was obviously great, but by that stage, you'd sort of known for 2 hours that it was going to be, because the way it was going, United was still in the Lowry down there. So the game can't, for the game to start, they've not only got to leave the hotel, they've got to get to the ground, they've got to have a warm. So straight away, it's 2 hours from whenever they leave the hotel minimum. So at that stage, you're looking at the time, thought, well, it's not happening this, is it? TV schedules don't work, it's going too late. So by the time it was officially called off, you knew that it was already off. We knew because we were on the street. Obviously people at home waited, they wouldn't have known, but.
And then you saw other fans protesting against this Super League idea. And within quite a short period of time, clubs started pulling back from lending their name to it.
Well, it's the other way around. It was, it had been called off, the Super League had been called off 10 days, 2 weeks before the Liverpool game. But that protest just went ahead anyway. So it had already long been called off. It was only like a 48-hour wonder before it was called off. And then obviously had the training ground protest.
Yeah.
So a lot of hoodlums went down there.
Yeah.
Disrupted United's.
Have you ever been to Manchester United's training ground?
I've been a few times, yeah.
Yeah. I was told that the hoodlums were actually well-mannered.
I think generally hoodlums are or can be well-mannered in the right circumstances. But
I was also told that some people agreed with the idea of the protest as well.
Well, I guess they had a point, didn't they? But so I mean, I think even by then the Super League had already officially been called off because that was a Wednesday or a Thursday morning.
So wasn't FC United to negate most of this? This was the alternative. This was affordable football with less commercialism. How do you see FC United 20 years on? Do you still go and watch FC United? You wrote a book about FC. I look at the league table. I see them doing well this season.
Yeah, they seem to be doing well, which is good. You know, it's good news. But I've not been for a few years. Right. Because of a stance they took in 2021 over the possibility of over what they'd do if vaccine passports were introduced, and given one of the founding principles of the club is to discriminate against none, and it still is, that's what it says on the website, I felt that they had to make it clear that they wouldn't discriminate against anyone in those circumstances, and they refused to do that. So,
and you've not been since?
No.
Been to any away games?
No.
What was the last live football game you went to? Was it in...
I went to Stockport against United the other year, took my daughter, when in that, what is it, that League Cup, or whatever it's called, or whatever that thing is, the Football League Cup. I have been to some games since then, but I can't, struggling to think, to be honest. I can remember what I had for breakfast 30 years ago, I can't remember what I've done in the last year, but...
Back to your book and your influences, I asked some United We Stand readers put questions to you. One was, who are your favourite writers, who influences you?
I don't really have favourite writers as such, but a book that's influenced me recently was, in terms of doing this one, that I was reading, I was just thinking, how has he done this? Was actually when we're on them, I was reading on them buses in Argentina. Because I couldn't get into it at home, and then I blitzed it when we were out there. But Robert Caro, his book on he did a massive biography on Lyndon Johnson, but he also did one on a guy called Robert Moses, who was like this administrator of New York City and the state. And he was just like how he corrupted the whole city, every single bit of it, and just drove it in the interests of like the car industry and stuff like that. Just corrupted the old city for decades, and no one really knew him or knew about it. He was just this really crafty administrator. And it's like the Triborough Bridge, he had a little office and the entire revenue from it. What, every single millions of cars a year going over, it all went to him, like his little office personally, rather than the city coffers. But it sounds a bit of a weird topic, but it's fascinating, the biography and how he wrote it and the research and everything. It's just unbelievable. But that really impressed me, that, and I just thought to do a book on that scale is something else.
Hairiest away game?
I don't know, with United, you don't get hairy away games, do you?
Did you?
Because United were a different level to most other teams, weren't they? But
off the pitch?
United support, yeah. But one place in the 90s, anyway, one place I thought it was really dodgy going, well, for a long time, was Newcastle. Because you wouldn't get many tickets, like the 96 game, when Cantona scored, for instance, you only got 800 tickets that night or something.
Yeah.
Like, we got a train up, I think.
January.
I think our fourth from Piccadilly, about five of us, six of us. And
I stepped off our bus, and I was obviously ran the bus, and some Geordie comes up and goes, "Where's your feet?" That's bang.
Well, that was, I remember that, because I was...
What year was that?
I got off the bus.
You behind me, I was at the front.
I was laughing, yeah.
Yeah.
I was laughing.
I lead from the front, yeah. I climb off it.
Where's your feet? As bang. You just got off the coach oblivious and someone cracked it and you didn't even know what had happened. But that was the League Cup game in
oblivious.
October,
I mean, what we're supposed to
October
do?
October 94. But, well,
do you want me to climb off the coach windmilling? Do you know?
The thing is, one of the problems was everyone on the coach was probably asleep because you'd had the Philadelphia playing all the way there.
How do you remember stuff like that? Yeah, Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what you're playing on the coach.
You can't blame Geordie.
Going to a football match in Newcastle and you've got a film playing like with Philadelphia.
You remember what film was played?
It scarred me for the last 31 years. That's why I remember. But. No, but
Newcastle.
I mean, United had quite a big support there that night in the League Cup, but the league games, you wouldn't get many tickets. And certainly that 96 night, I remember them being so up for it. We've come out of the station, I think it was five of us, and we went in a boozer, got a pint, and it's just packed everywhere, packed with new Geordies. No United about, because it was, I don't know, it would have been about 6:30, 7:00. And we just, it was just like moody. Because like everywhere was back then, but we've walked up to them, we ain't got a ticket between us. I remember Jim White, I think it was doing a piece for The Independent about football. In fact, and he was having Grant and all them before we graft outside the turnstiles.
Were you one of them?
No. But we were stood there just waiting, because again, if it's an hour before the game, it's a small allocation, there's no one going in. Like you get nicked and banned for 3 years now trying to jib in, don't you? But we all got in that night.
What was your best jib that you did?
So Newcastle, obviously coming out at the end, they were all livid, weren't they? Mm. Just people getting slapped left, right and centre. But there was no numbers there with United. And then I didn't go the following season. No, I went the 5-0 was the following, so that was again. But then the year after that, it was my own 50th. So I didn't go, but everyone said United had to they were all waiting outside, because when Cole scored 1-0, and they were all waiting outside, and United's end got escorted around the pitch and taken out the other side, because it was that moody. I think that's the one game there that didn't go. But then and it wasn't until the treble season that a few hoodlums went like properly to make sure they didn't repeat what they'd done the year before, and it all changed after that. But
was there was the most important result during the era of your book from 90 to 95? What was a key result if you had to choose one?
Result? It's got to be Sheffield Wednesday, hasn't it?
Mm.
2-1, I think. Or Norwich, either of those two. They were both almost the same.
Let's go Norwich.
They were both. Yeah. In a way, the same game. They were straight, days after each other, and then they just carried on. Because that Norwich going down there, Hughes was banned.
Yeah.
And it was whether Fergie would be brave or not. Would he go defensive and play Robson in midfield? And sort of bolstered, because Norwich were top of the league going at that game. I think they played a game more maybe, but they were top of the league. And Villa were playing, and if we'd lost that night, the league was gone. And obviously Norwich were flying. We'd not won 5 games. He went 4-2-4, played 2 wingers.
Brilliant.
Brought Kanchelskis in. Giggs down the middle with Kantar and Sharp on the left, and just blew him away. 20 minutes in, 3-0, wasn't it? And all the goals were just counter-attacking, lightning speed. As a performance, it's just from 0 to 100 in no time whatsoever. That is just unbelievable. And just remember you're thinking, is it really 3-0? It was just so, because we'd not even barely scored a goal for 5 games, have they? Well, 4 games.
If you could change one result in the era of your book, what would it be?
change? I don't know, because I don't think you'd change anything.
No, but if you could.
Well, if you could, I don't think you'd change anything, because...
Being hypothetical, you know, you might say.
Well, that's taking the hypothetical and saying hypothetically and still keep it the same. No, I mean, obviously you've got Anfield, West Ham, Forest, 92. But because of that is what made 93. And it wouldn't have been the same. And basically, that second half of 91, 92, United were crap. I mean, you win the league, you win the league. And it would have been great, 25 years since the previous one, and last game of the Stretford End, et cetera, et cetera. But we, you know, from the QPR 4-1 New Year's Day, it was who could be more shit. It was like a competition to United Leeds, just tossing the league to each other every week, wasn't it? I mean, Leeds lost 4-0 to QPR and City in about a space of 2 weeks or something, 3 weeks. So, and you look at what they did the following season, they almost got relegated. The worst champions since City in 1937 or something, 38.
I remember you.
Who did get relegated?
Coming on the scene at United and going everywhere. Just see any of them, the lads who are your age or a little bit younger than me.
I was always with lads who were older because, like Buddy, Brennan.
Yeah, them lads, they're older than you, okay.
Because
that's what I'm thinking of.
Because I was quite young.
Yeah.
And then obviously when the terracing went, there's no kids who were going.
Yeah.
Coming.
Because that's one thing that really saddened me at that age. I'd get the bus from Ermston and it was full, and when the paying on the gate went, that bus just emptied.
So the young lads who were going after we were going, would go with the dads maybe, and you'd meet them saying the dog and partridge before a game, rather than, but for about, we were the youngest for about 3-4 years at away games,
a lot of
by quite a distance,
yeah.
Until you stoop for goat and people like that started coming through, all his lot. There was a big group of them at one time, and then the Moston Rats all come through, say 98, they all started going. And there ended up being 30 odd of them.
Yeah.
And then you just got, there's quite a big explosion, like, because people, they're all getting to an age where they need to go with their dads or whatever, and had a bit of money. But it was also cheap then. You could, and it got to a stage when there was 300 on the trains every week. You jib the train, free, and you jib in the game. You won't need any money, all you need is a few pints. So, you know, you can't, like I say, try that now. You're getting a 3-year banning order just for trying it. But that's the way it is. It's all controlled now, isn't it? And it's been increasingly authoritarian and everything else since 1989, hasn't it? They didn't get the ID cards through, but they've got everything else.
The reason we started United We Stand, don't know what Red Issues reasons were.
Colin Moynihan.
Remember,
and he was all pushing.
Did you United We Stand?
I did. Yeah, I started selling United.
How old were you?
14.
Were you? Wow. And then Red Issue, from which you edited. When did you take over Red Issue?
Properly 03. Yeah.
All right. We've really enjoyed talking to you. Good luck with your book. We'll put the link how to get your book down below. When do people need to order by? When's it getting printed?
Next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So what's that? The 19th, is it?
Yeah. Can you get a signed copy?
If you ask nicely.
Yeah. Can you, quite the celebrity, signing autographs. Anyway, nice one. John Paul O'Neill. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.